Here's a rather famous quote from the Bible, from Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Trivia question, just to begin with, for you to think about. In what book of the Bible do we read this statement of Jesus? And you might think, yeah, it's in the book of Acts. Most of the statements of Jesus are going to be in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But it's actually when Paul's talking to the Ephesian elders in the 20th chapter of Acts, and he says, to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Whole lot of truth to that. And this morning, we're going to talk about some specific areas in which it's better to give. It's better to give this instead of receive it. It's better to give that instead of receive it. Not everybody understands that. And by the way, as we go through this, the focus is going to be on person to person, not us towards God. We need God's blessings much more than God is ever going to need what we can give to God. We're going to be focusing on what we give and receive from each other. But, as I said, not everybody understands the blessing of giving and receiving. For instance, this little guy here, when his mom tells him to share his toy with someone else, he does not take a lot of joy in that at all. He doesn't feel very blessed. He wants to receive, receive, receive. And if you've seen a little spoiled kid like that, you know that they really don't enjoy yet the idea of giving. However, most of us have realized at some point what? There's something really enjoyable about giving, not just receiving. Unfortunately, there's a few people in the world that grow up and they're still a little bit like that guy right there. So let's start going through and let's pick category number one. It's better to give hospitality than to receive it. Receiving hospitality is great. But it's better to give it. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, it gives us the qualifications for elders, for shepherds. Is the qualification that they're good at letting other people show them hospitality? That they're good at receiving? That they're good at being fed? No, it's that they show hospitality. Look at Genesis chapter 18. We're going to look at some hospitality back here in the Old Testament in the life of Abraham. And as I make this point, let me clarify. When we talk about it's better to give it than receive it, it's also good to receive it, but not always. When you're receiving hospitality from a brother or sister in Christ that is offering you hospitality, please accept and enjoy that hospitality. But as we're going to see, there's some people who, when they're given hospitality, have a different motive, and there's underlying things. You'll see this in the business world and elsewhere, and sometimes there's hooks that comes along with that. So let's start with Genesis chapter 18. And you see here the hospitality, and this is, I think, the text that's being referred to in the book of Hebrews when it says, don't forget to love, show love to strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. Referring back to this text here, I believe. Genesis 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes, this is Abraham, and looked. And behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, bowed himself to the earth, and said, O Lord, if I found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought. Wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may pass on since you've come to your servant. So they said, do as you've said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three seahs of flour, knead it, and make cakes. Abraham ran to the herd, took a calf, tender and good, gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. That's a remarkable example of hospitality here. Here's three men that have come, they've traveled, and people would, in the Orient, they would show a lot of hospitality often to travelers. Sometimes in some really ugly passages in the Old Testament, at the expense of even their own family members. But here it's not that. This is just an act of service and kindness to these three men that have come up. And just quickly, just giving and giving. And he's even standing there while they're eating. Now, here's another instance where some hospitality is offered Abraham, and this time Abraham turns it down. Look at Genesis 23. Sarah has died. Verse 2. And Abraham goes to mourn for Sarah and weep for her. Verse 3. Abraham rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I'm a sojourner and foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The Hittites answered Abraham, Hear us, my lord. You are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead. Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, showing respect, and to the people of the land. And he said to them, If you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place. Gets kind of interesting here. Ephron was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham, what's the next words? In the hearing of the Hittites. What he says, he wants to be heard by other people. He's making a public gesture here that's more about appearances than the heart. So it says, in the hearing of the Hittites, of all who went out at the gate of the city, No, my lord, I give you the field, and I give you the cave in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron, in the hearing of the people of the land, But if you will, hear me. I give the price of the field. Accept it from me that I may bury their dead there. So at first, this is a little bit like if you've ever been at lunch with a friend and they say, I've got your lunch. Oh, no. Listen, let me get your lunch. No, I wouldn't hear of it. Let me get your lunch. There's a little bit of that going on. But now notice how Ephraim responds. He had first said this in the hearing of everyone. I give this to you. Abraham bows. He says, No, please listen to me. Let me pay you for it. Here's Ephraim's answer. Ephraim answered Abraham, My lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. And he gets the field and he buries his dead. So, what's this amount that costs 400 shekels? And Abraham, okay. And he pays it out. So there's an appearance of hospitality here, but the fellow, you know, is obviously eager to have and happy to have his 400 shekels, but for appearance's sake, he has created this. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. One through eight. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe, this is Proverbs 23. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe carefully what is set before you and put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desire. And it says here, in verse 6. Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. I give you an example of this. How many of you have ever gotten a phone call and were offering you a, you know, 2-day or 3-day, 2-night stay at this or that or some prize or some other wonderful thing if you'll just listen to this presentation? And if you've ever made the mistake of doing that, you know some of the routine that goes through there. I think it was about 21 or 22, and we got the phone call, and I said, well, I'm not interested. Well, but you should come anyway. But I'm not interested. I'm not going to buy that timeshare. Well, but you can get the prize anyway. So if I come and I'm not interested, I'm telling you I'm not going to buy anything, you're still going to give me the prize. Yeah. So it doesn't matter that I don't want it. Okay. So we went and we waste our time and theirs, and they're sitting there giving the spiel. I said, well, I already explained to the person on the phone that I don't want it. They said, and they told me, no, go ahead and come anyway. They said, well, they shouldn't have told you that. So they give me, it was a little black and white. It was our first TV ever. This was back in like 1983. And no, it was not a flat screen. And we went home. But it's just, you just feel, you know, and there will be business things sometimes where somebody is maybe going to ingratiate you for some favor or political things and such. And you might think, oh, what a nice thing they're doing. Sometimes there's underlying motives. So watch out for people that are doing things and their heart is not really with you. You don't do that. You be hospitable. And when somebody sincerely is offering you hospitality, appreciate that. Take that. Accept that in the spirit that it's given. But don't go through life looking for allowing yourself to be taken advantage of by people that are trying to manipulate and things like that. Romans chapter 12 and 1 Peter 4, 9 show that this is a principle, hospitality, that's not just for elders, but for all of us. Let's read these two passages real quick, and then we need to move on. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Seek to show hospitality. Also, 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. You see the fellow here back in Proverbs 23. Oh, yes, eat. How much is he eating? You know, show hospitality without grumbling. And in Luke 14, very important text, look what Jesus says here. And by the way, before I read this, let me give you a reminder. Be turning to Luke chapter 14, verse 12. There are several places in the Bible where it will say, not this, but that. Sometimes it means not this, but that. Steal no more. Work and provide for yourself and others. Sometimes not this, but that means not so much this, but also that. For example, in John 6, where Jesus said, work not for the bread that perishes, but for that of eternal life. Jesus isn't meaning that you shouldn't have a job to buy groceries and feed yourself, but don't make it just that. Here Jesus says, when you have a feast, do it not for the people that can pay you back, but for the people that can't. That doesn't mean you can't have people over the other way too, but look at the impact of what he's saying. Listen to Jesus here. Luke 14 12 through 14. He said to the man who had invited him, and Jesus is a recipient here of somebody, over and over, one of the things in the Gospel of Luke is Jesus has been invited to somebody's house for dinner. And sometimes it ends up being kind of awkward, and that's when it is. He said to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Hospitality is not about, well, if I give something, let me see what I get back in return. Hospitality is giving. And one of the most valuable ways to give is to give the people to people that can't give back, that aren't in a position to give back, and to give to people who maybe don't get to receive very often. You know, wealthy people in big social circles, there's all sorts of opportunities where somebody's trying to, you know, outdo each other in different things, different times. If you've ever been to Newport, Rhode Island, fascinating to see, but it was their cottages up there that were just magnificent mansions for the party season. And one person would build one for the party season, invite people, and then the next rich guy has to build a bigger one for a bigger party, you know, for his friends, and they just, it got crazy. Invite people who it'll mean something to, who aren't in a position to pay back, where you can do a kindness to someone to give, not to receive. All right, let's go another way. This is tied in. It's better to give alms than to receive. We're not going to read all of these passages. I need to speed up a bit. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, the sheep and the goats. What are the sheep told? When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I lacked clothing, you gave me clothing. They said, when did we do that to you, Lord? He said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren. He said to the goats, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. When I lacked clothing, you didn't clothe me. When I was sick, you didn't visit me. And they're cast out into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion. James says false religion, deluded religion, is when we don't control our tongue. We claim to be religious, but we don't control our tongue and what we say. Pure religion, he says in verse 27, involves both doing good and abstaining from evil. Pure religion is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. A Christian is not just a person who doesn't do bad things. Sometimes people get the idea, oh, I know what a Christian is. A Christian, you know, he doesn't fornicate, he doesn't gamble, he doesn't cheat, he doesn't lie, he doesn't get drunk, et cetera, et cetera. That's what a Christian is. Well, yeah, Christians don't do those things, but this doesn't do those things either. It doesn't fornicate, it doesn't get drunk, it doesn't steal, and it's always here at church. But it's not a Christian. Christians do things. In fact, the word visit there, it's actually related to the same word for the word for overseer. It is in shepherds and overseers. You're looking to the needs of someone. You're caring about that person and the fatherless. Luke chapter 16, I'm not going to take time to do that one. Let's mention this in 2 Thessalonians 3. Look there with me, please. You know the problem at Thessalonica, which was a strong church, but they had an element there that would not take care of themselves and apparently wanted other people to take care of them. And so we know that Paul talked about that when he was there, because in both of his letters he mentioned, this is when I taught you, when I was there. Remember, I taught you, if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. In 1 Thessalonians 4:1, he said, you know, live quiet lives, mind your own business, take care of yourself, so that you won't be in need and going around asking everybody else for things. But by 2 Thessalonians, they still haven't got their act together, and they're refusing to work. And so we have this, verse 6. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus, this is 2 Thessalonians 3:6, keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. And it says in verse 10, even when we were with you, we gave you this command. If one is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the name of in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly, earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. It's better to give forgiveness than to receive it. And again, we're talking about forgiveness from each other, not from God. It's better to give forgiveness than to receive it. Now, it's good to receive. All of these things can be good to receive, and it's very good to receive forgiveness from other people, but you might not get it. For example, Acts chapter 23, verse 12. 40 unbelievers took a vow that they would not eat or drink until Paul was dead. Do they have something against Paul? Yeah. Did they ever forgive Paul? I doubt it. Is there anything Paul can do about that? No. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, when one of the brethren who has been in sin has repented, what does Paul say? Now forgive him, comfort him, so that he not be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. You forgive him, I forgive him. Paul's giving forgiveness. But there's a lot of people that want Paul dead. They've got things against Paul, and they haven't forgiven. And it's not Paul's fault. They're, like in Acts, they falsely accused him of taking a Gentile into the temple. Well, he's not going to be able to change those people's mind. I mean, they were trying to rip him apart. You know, he's not going to be able to change those people's mind. And there's going to be people in this world you can't. Try. Matthew chapter 5, if someone has something against you, go to him. Before you bring your sacrifice to God, go to them. Try to make that right. If there's an adversary and you owe him something, go make that right. Proverbs 6, if you've made yourself into a debt and now you're stuck, go to the person and humble yourself to the person that you owe that to. We need to try to go and make things right, but there will be people in this world that don't want to make things right. So what does Romans 12 say? As much as is in you possible, be at peace with all men. You accept apologies. You forgive people. And when we need to, we can receive forgiveness from each other and from other people that will accept our apologies and are trying to make things right. But you know what? There's some people in this world that won't. Either they won't accept your apology or they'll accuse you of something you didn't do and don't owe an apology for. And if it's like Paul, they may want you dead. So our job is not to go through life making sure that everybody else's account is square with us, but for us to do what's right. It's better to give than receive. And it's better to give compliments than to receive. Again, it's nice to receive compliments, but it's better to give them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul compliments the Thessalonians highly. Not here focus on the problem of a few of them, but the church as a whole. And he talks about, we don't even need to tell people elsewhere, you know, the good things that you're doing, because they've heard about it and they're telling us how you turned away from idols to serve God. And you have other passages in the letters in Revelation 2 and 3 where Jesus addresses the seven churches. the usual pattern is that there's some compliment and some criticism. There's some exceptions to that. One church had no compliments, Laodicea. A couple had no criticism. But the other ones, what was always given first? The compliment was given first, and then, but here's what you lack. It's valuable to encourage people. Romans chapter 16, look at that text with me. Phoebe has arrived in Rome with the letter that Paul has written. Phoebe is from the church at Cenchrea, right next to Corinth, where Paul has been. And as she gets there in Rome, she's going to need some hospitality to be shown her by the brethren there. And so as she brings this letter, Paul recommends her to them. And listen to how he speaks of Phoebe, and listen to how he speaks of his friends Aquila and Priscilla. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatsoever need, in whatsoever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. There's great value in encouraging people to keep doing what's good and to let people know what they do makes a difference. Be supportive. Don't be stingy with your words. Be generous. Let people know. Be supportive of people. Be kind to people. Let people realize that what they do makes a difference. But don't expect you're always going to get it in return. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The church at Corinth had some people who made too much of Paul. I'm of Paul. And they had some people who made too little of it. And of course, he had his critics there. Oh, yeah, Paul, his speech is of no account. You know, his bodily presence is weak, and various other criticisms. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says this, verse 3. With me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It's the Lord who judges me. And later in 2 Corinthians 3, he says, do I need epistles of commendation, you know, to you or from you and stuff? Remember, when Apollos went to Corinth, he needed a letter of recommendation. And Aquila and Priscilla would have been some of the ones involved in that, recommending him to the Corinthians. Paul didn't need that. But he also had his detractors and stuff. And he says he's not looking for letters of commendation for them, and he has to deal with the things. So do what's good without expecting that everybody's going to give you a pat on the back. Do what's good and know that when you do what's good, some people are going to stab you in the back. But pat other people on the back. Other people get stabbed in the back too. Other people get underappreciated. Other people may not have all the support avenues that you've got. Be that for them. It doesn't take a lot of effort to just open your mouth and let somebody know that you appreciate, you know, who they are and what they do. But it can be a big encouragement, especially if somebody's getting stabbed in the back somewhere else. Last two, it's better to give to family than to receive. Now, this will apply even if you don't have family members living in your home. Because if you don't have family members living in your home, you've probably got family members elsewhere that you can relate to and reach out to and do things for. But if you have family members still living in your home, wives, what does Ephesians 5 say to give. Give respect. To submit your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wife. How does it say to love your wife? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Sacrificial love. Giving up yourself for your wife. Parents, Ephesians chapter 6. The text goes down. After talking about husbands and wives, it says this in chapter 6. Fathers, verse 4, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And Titus 3 says to older women, train the younger women to love their husbands, love their children. Children, look at Ephesians 6:1. Obey your parents in the Lord. And then verse 2, honor your father and mother. You know what? Children take a lot. They're supposed to. When they're little bitty, that's about all they can do. They can't, like Josie, Stephen and Brienne's newest. She's not giving a whole lot right now, at least not on purpose. She gives more than she knows. But she's not really trying to give a whole lot. Brienne, I think the other day said that, I think it was Brienne that said this, said, you know, she just smiles at me and it's just so wonderful, but then she sees a light and she gives the same smile, you know. But it's, but as we grow, we'll give more and more. But this passage doesn't say children take, it's children give. Give obedience, give honor. So as we leave here today, young people, honor your parents. Obey your parents. Give that to them. Don't be thinking about, yeah, but they didn't buy me my new phone. Yeah, but they didn't. Stop thinking about what you're getting. Children, think about what you're giving. Give what you're supposed to be giving. Children, give honor. Give obedience. Parents, give love. Give instruction. Give discipline. It's better to give than receive. Husbands, give sacrificial love to your wife. Why? Give respect to your husband. What happens in a marriage when both sides are giving? Beautiful things happen. What happens in a marriage where both people are focused on getting? It gets pretty bad. What's our verse of the day? It's better to give than receive. And lastly, it's better to give love than receive, which has been the theme of our singing. 1 Corinthians 13, you know the description here. Let's read it. What is love and what is it not? Well, it's kind of the opposite of how the Corinthians were acting. We know how they were acting, but here's what love does. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Let's go back to that family thing. I don't know exactly how everything's going in your family right now, but if there's some rough spots in your family, you know what'll clean it out? Listen to this. Kids, parents, moms, dads, husbands, wives, brothers, siblings, sisters. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And in Philippians 3, Christians are told what? Count other better than self. Look not just to your own things. Look to the things of others. Because it's what? It's better to give. It's more blessed to give than receive. Final thought. A selfish person might say, yeah, but what's in it for me? Well, you're looking at it wrong. Jesus came to save the lost. We're to be servants. But if you want to know what's in it for you, I'll tell you. People that give love reap the blessings of it. People that go through life, me, have little bitty, tiny, miserable lives because they have assumed that their purpose on earth is to serve this one little homo sapien that's going to be here for a little while and make other people miserable. When we give love, guess what happens? Who benefits? It's like the paradoxes. He that is the last will be first. Those that humble themselves are exalted. And people that give are a great blessing to people around them, but they benefit themselves immensely because it is. Don't be this guy. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you're here this morning and you need to give your life to Christ, won't you do that as we stand and sing?